may want to keep your bulletin handy. Toward the end of the sermon, I'll be referring to the intro and in colic for today. Please stand for the Word of God. There's two parts to the reading. The first part is Jesus giving a parable. He's still in the boat out on the Sea of Galilee. The whole crowd is on the beach. The second half, he moves to the house, and the disciples move with him. Now Jesus is teaching his parable out in the boat. The servants of the master of the house came to him and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?" He said to them, "An enemy has done this." So the servant said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he said, "No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time I will tell the reapers, 'Gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Now back at the house. Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field." This is God's word. In Jesus' name. A woman doesn't start praying until she hears the doctor's cancer diagnosis. A man doesn't pray with his family until he has no more family to pray with because of an addiction of his. A congregation or school hasn't made ordered liturgical prayer a formational part of its life. And so when problems arise, it doesn't recognize them as crosses, but instead tries to solve the problems through bureaucratic decisions or procedure. In all these examples, prayer becomes a kind of last resort. Instead, among Christians, it should be the first resort. It should be a treasured place of otherworldly rest, right in the middle of the realities and the crosses of our daily and mortal life. It should be the first resort, well known through many years of practice and growth. Prayer is both communal and individual, so that in prayer, a Christian is never alone. Even when a Christian might be praying individually, they always go back to the great prayer gift from our Lord Jesus Christ, the Our Father. Our Father. We get to address God just like Jesus does. In today's parable, there are two kinds of groups who talk with God. They have conversation. The first group is found within the parable Jesus told, and they are called servants of the master of the house. In the explanation of the parable that Jesus later gives, no longer at the shore, but now in the house, Jesus identifies these servants of the master of the house as reapers sent at the end of the world, the holy angels. As these servants of the master of the house talk with him in the parable, it's like they're addressing him, they're conversing with him, they're presenting a question to him. The first set of questions they ask have to do with the current situation of the world, this mixture, everything's mixed together, wheat and weeds. "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?" The explanation that the master gives the servants, the angels, is that an enemy has done this. Realized while the men were sleeping. The good angels would know that those with such spiritual power to sow destruction and decay can only be the devil and his evil angels. The good angel servants reply back to the master's answer with another question focused on them and what they should do. "Do you want us to go out and gather them?" They have an inkling of their later role. Namely, they will eventually be sent to do precisely that, to gather the wheat, but they don't have the timing down. I think in our own prayers, it often kind of goes like that. You know, we know God's will from His Word, and here we are praying according to His Word and not according to the feelings of our hearts or the ideas of our minds, but according to His Word we pray. Actually, prayer is kind of interesting. It involves actually more listening than speaking. But here we are, we're praying according to God's word and will, but we probably don't usually get the timing down right. We want it more quickly, what we're asking for, but an important part of prayer is to wait patiently. The word patient means to suffer God's timing, His way of doing things. So wait and be patient. You know, they have an inkling of their later role. They don't have the timing down. And also, it's important to note, they are not personally, intimately involved with what they're asking about here. They are not as involved with the crop in the same way that the master is. He's the one who planted that crop. It's his honor that's at stake. When someone walks past the field, they look out there and they see a big mess. They see wheat and weeds all growing together. Who is this guy? He's the one who must constantly tend and attend the plants that he has planted, that he cares for, that he wants to see come to fruition and full growth for the harvest. These angels have a role at the master's behest, but he has a commitment to the field and to each single plant that he planted therein. The second group of people that have a conversation, who talk with God in today's gospel reading, are the disciples. Did you hear their prayer? Did you hear their request to God? They address it to Jesus. They follow him into the house, just like you have come into the Lord's house today to hear Jesus' word and his teaching. And I hope maybe that your prayer is just like the disciples. Teach me, O Lord. Remember, that's how the disciples asked about prayer. Teach us to pray. We have to be taught this gift from God. They return with Jesus into the house, away from the crowds, and the disciples quickly come to Christ in the house, not as a last resort, but as an urgent request, an eager expectation, a first resort, and a petition. Explain to us the parable of the weeds. This is how prayer should be for us Christians. It is focused on Jesus and his teaching, his doctrine, the word of God. In fact, prayer is more about listening than speaking, and speaking only after having listened. Prayer is focused on spiritual goods. Teach me, O Lord, the kingdom. And in your very words, you will be giving it to me. I need it. Prayer is focused on spiritual goods and spiritual growth, not the physical things I can just about guarantee you were praying for this past week. I know I was. I think it's wonderful that when we come here and communally we pray and we use the liturgy to pray, we're not praying anymore for these little physical things that we think we need and want. We're praying for bigger things. We're praying for the true things. The spiritual things, the liturgy teaches us this and gives it to us. Hopefully it shapes our prayer Monday through Saturday as well. The liturgy is our great teacher here. The spiritual needs that we have are primary. The physical needs, in fact, we can begin to look at them in the proper way from that spiritual perspective we have learned. Did you hear how the servants talked with the master in the parable? They asked him a lot of questions about what they should do. Compare that with the disciples, the followers of Jesus, like you and me, children of the Heavenly Father. How do we talk to God? We don't ask him questions about what we should do. We ask for him to give us good gifts. There is true Christian prayer. Jesus once told the disciples, "I no longer call you servants. I call you friends." In fact, we're more than friends. We are children of God. The parable here has to do with you and me. We are the field of wheat, with weeds growing all around, even within, actually. We are directly impacted by God's action. We are affected, whereas the angels are simply commanded. The angels have a relationship of duty with God. What's your relationship? He's given it to you. You are his dear child through water and the word. You have been brought in to the house where Jesus is the teacher. His word is the only word to be spoken. You know, the angels do not have crosses like you have. They are not mortal like you are. They can't lose their place before God like a Christian conceivably could. But we are mortal. And that's the amazing thing when you stop and think about it. Here we are, mortal human beings, lowly creatures, nothing but dust, and we dare to address the immortal one, God Himself. And why? Because He has said so. He has invited you to do this. He wants you to do this. In fact, He even often gives you the words, "Our Father who art in heaven." We are mortal human beings, yet we speak with God. We human beings can lose our faith in Christ, but we beg. That's one of the main reasons for prayer. We beg God, keep me in the faith. Keep me in my baptism. Don't let go of me. Hold me up. Lead me forward. Bring me to the goal, the harvest that you have in mind. And especially here, unlike the angels, we Christians carry crosses. These crosses are sent to us by God Himself, the one we get to cry out to, the one we get to pray to, who has promised to hear us. You have an honor that no angel ever has. You follow Jesus even in your body. You carry a cross following Him, just like He carried a cross in order to redeem you and the world. So in our weakness, we cry out to God, we pray to Him, we beg for God's grace, which is made perfect in us, in our lowliness, in our weakness, in our frailty. And all these things come through in our prayers. They often are weak. They often are lowly, often very frail and fickle. We cling to the word which Christ speaks to us more than all of our words that we would ever pray to Him. One of His words is worth more than heaven and earth, and He has said so. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. His word has dignity. His word has power in and of itself. Our words that we pray are given their dignity. They don't have them. It's given to them. They don't have any power, but it is bestowed on them. And I want you to listen carefully here. I'm sure you've often heard this phrase, the power of prayer. Our prayer and our words have no power, but for the one who's listening, the one who has promised to hear us, the one who has commanded us to pray and has said, "I will answer you. Call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you." There's the power. It is found only and all in Him, the one who hears the prayer. I'd like to walk through the intro this morning and make a couple comments on each verse as we work our way through regarding prayer. It's taken from Psalm 86, the antiphon, the introductory verse there is verse 6 of that psalm, and then the body starts at verse 11 of Psalm 86. And, you know, the angels, they ask the master what they should do. The disciples have a request of Jesus, teach us. And when we Christians pray, did you know that we often can be found, as we're praying, we can actually be found singing our prayers. Because we are children of the Heavenly Father. We are free in Jesus and His blood, which is the only way that we can pray. So I'd like to sing the intro at each verse and make a couple comments. Bum ba da dum, bum ba da dum. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Listen to my plea for grace. There's a good prayer right there. The disciples, they wanted to know about the kingdom of God. They go to the one who can teach them, Jesus. We sinners need grace and mercy from God, so we go to the one who bestows it liberally, freely in Jesus. And so we address Him, O Lord, listen to my plea for grace. Your grace is made perfect in my weakness. Bum, ba, da, da. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. The very request of the disciples is found right here in the psalm, isn't it? Teach me your way, O Lord. That's what the disciples asked. Teach us the parable of the weeds, Jesus. And to fear God's name is so vital for us to pray. In fact, that's probably why we often regard prayer in such a lowly manner, is because we kind of have the same regard for God. But if we had the true fear, love, and trust of God, the Holy Trinity, our prayers would reflect that, because we always pray in His name. I give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever. Well-trained Christian prayer always involves praise and thanksgiving, doesn't it? Not only requests, but always praise and thanksgiving, as we see here. Notice again, God's name is mentioned. His name is the start and the finish, the beginning and end of all our prayers. For great is your steadfast love toward me. You have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. So notice how prayer doesn't just happen in a nice, neutral, calm place. There's enemies all around. There's the weeds that are growing right next. So God has to reach down and intervene and rescue us. It's not just some kind of calm and peaceful environment, but prayer involves spiritual battle on the Word of God. Oh God, insolent men have risen up against me. A band of ruthless men seek my life, and they do not set you before them. Who is an insolent man? Who is ruthless? I'll tell you. The one who does not pray. The one who cannot pray. Who doesn't think he needs prayer. He doesn't need God. He has his own strength, his own power. And he is going to crush those little lambs, he thinks. Insolent, arrogant, ruthless, prayerless. But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. This verse right here is wondrous. It's found throughout the Old Testament. It's like a golden thread. It's like the John 3:16 of the Old Testament. Here it is in Psalm 86. It begins in Exodus 34, and I'm going to just name a couple here. Numbers 14, 2 Chronicles 30, Nehemiah 9, Psalm 86, Psalm 103, Psalm 111, Psalm 112, Psalm 116, Psalm 145, Joel chapter 2. These words here. Who is God? The one to whom we pray. He is a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. He himself told Moses this on Mount Sinai. He revealed his glory, which is his word and love, to Moses there. And then, of course, we conclude the intro with the Gloria Patri, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, and then the antiphon at the end. In the collect for the day, we ask that God would so rule and govern our hearts and minds by his Holy Spirit, that ever mindful of the final judgment, we may be stirred up to holiness of living here. Holiness of living includes prayer, calling out on God in trust and confidence, even when surrounded by trials and tribulations on account of God's word, to which we hold fast. We cry out to our Heavenly Father, knowing he hears us. O God, so rule and govern our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that ever mindful of your final judgment, we may be stirred up to holiness of living here, where we pray, and dwell with you in perfect joy hereafter, where we will need no more prayer. We will see him face to face, and we will talk with him there in that way. Amen.